Good morning. What an awesome song to end on. I never bring my keys and phone up, so when things don't go right in a song and to end with, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I feel like as Christians, when we continue to mature in our faith, despite whatever circumstances thrown our way, whether you mess up our song or circumstances are difficult in life, and to say, you know what, God, I'm going to praise you. No matter what life throws me, I'm going to praise you all the day long. Well, this morning, we are in an exciting time in our church. Last week, I preached on deacons, the role of a deacon, because we are electing a new deacon in the church. And as we're going through this, I want you to put up Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 is a couple of verses that I think really want to use to guide our church, to understand that God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to His power, that's at work within us. A lot of times we think too little of what God can do with us, but you have Christ in you. Literally, you have Christ in you. How do we limit that? So we're going to expect God to do pretty awesome things here. Like I said, last week we preached over the role of deacons, and this morning we're going to really focus our time and attention on deacon qualifications. So if you are a visitor, I apologize. This is going to be a little bit different these last 2 weeks because we are really focusing and concentrating on who God has for us as a deacon in the church. I think it's important for us to understand church leadership, so we'll cover that a little bit today as well. We have 7 deacons in our church, and we get that from the book of Acts chapter 6. They had 7 deacons. And the deacons we have here that are currently serving is Wayne Bresky, Miles Hurst, Jason Just, Joe Cadwell, Stephen Hassel, and Mike Levy serves as our chairman. See, the deacons are nominated by the body as members of the church. The deacons represent you. They are your voice. And they're in place to serve you. And they're in place to serve this community. And they're also here to help serve the elders. And they oversee many things in the church, including church finances. And they serve the widows of the church. And deacons serving the widows of a church is a hugely important role to me. I remember when my dad was a deacon of this very church, being a kid and watching him come home after taking care of his widow that was assigned to him, and physically seeing him pray for his widow left a huge impact on me as a child. So I think it's important role for deacons to look after the widows in the church, and not just the widows, but those that have a difficult time helping themselves, to know that you've got a deacon on your side praying for you, and to be able to call them and say, you know what, my car can't get started, or this is going on, and to have somebody there from the church to help. They're also responsible for praying for the church and making sure that the needs of the body of the church family are met. They're in charge of all voting procedures, including this one, which we're in the middle of. They also protect the bylaws of the church, making sure that we as a leadership team do things as we said we were going to do them. They're responsible for hiring any church staff that we have outside of the pastor, which is voted on by the body. They do all the behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't want to know about. Just as a side note, we also have 3 elders, of which I'm one. The elders are Rex, Dan, and myself, and we take great pride in praying for you and praying for this community. The elders take great care in protecting the church from false doctrine. We're grateful, as I said, to be praying for you, to look over the spiritual health of the church. One of the things that we do as well is the prayer of James chapter 5, where we pray over the sick in the church. The elders have several times gone and prayed for healing and anointed with oil and seen God do some amazing things through that. One of the major roles of the elders is to hold each other accountable, including myself, to make sure that not only am I preaching according things that we believe are part of our doctrine, but also living it out. The elders, in essence, are spiritual leaders of the church and spiritual leaders for me. We meet once a week and pray for each other and pray for each other's families, and we pray for you as well. And the deacons and the elders make up the leadership team. And just so you know how we vote, we have 7 deacons. Each deacon gets 1 vote, and the elders collectively get a vote. So the elders get a third of a vote, and that adds up to 1 vote, and every deacon gets a vote. And I covered this last week. Every vote that we've had for several years has been on consensus, which is why we're slow. We make sure that everybody's on the same page. And every vote thus far has been under consensus. Is that clear as mud? If you have any questions about how our church operates, how we do the things that we do, why we do the things that we do, come talk to me, talk to a deacon. We're transparent. We are trying to follow Scripture and God's lead, and the Holy Spirit. So last week, as we read through the book of Acts chapter 6, where the disciples are having the need to find servants. See, the church was growing at a rapid pace, and the church really struggled to keep up with the demand of not only fulfilling people's spiritual needs, but also their physical needs. The disciples were spending so much time waiting tables, as they called it, physically feeding and caring for the needs, that they didn't have time to meet the spiritual needs. That was going neglected. And a decision had to be made in the book of Acts chapter 6. The first group of servants or deacons takes place. And the clear purpose and very reason for the existence of a deacon is, the Greek literal translation here is, to serve. They are servants. That's all they are in the New Testament. Deacons are servants. Nowhere in Scripture is deacon ever given any other role outside of servant helper. That's what a deacon did in the New Testament church. They supported the work of the church. They supported the work of the elders. And both were incredibly important. And this allowed the elders and the deacons to use their gifts to glorify God. And as a result of this, in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it said, "So the word of God spread." This allowed people to use their gifts and their talents. The elders could do what the elders do. The deacons could do what the deacons do. And this allowed the word of God to spread. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So that's what we're calling you to do as a church family today, to nominate. To prayerfully nominate a person that you see fill that role. A person that when you see them, you think of servant. That's the role of the deacon. That's what we covered last week, but we're also blessed to have not only the role of a deacon understood, but also the qualifications of a deacon. We have the Scripture to guide us in what are actual qualifications of a deacon. See, the church in Ephesus was blessed with great leadership. And we know that in Acts chapter 20, it tells us that Paul founded the church of Ephesus. And he later turned that church over to Timothy. And during his time in Ephesus, Paul trained a core of godly leaders to watch after and to lead the church. So when he left, he empowered Timothy to leave, and he later wrote Timothy this letter. Timothy was very young when he was doing this, but he gave him this letter to give him a strategy on how to correctly build the church. He wanted him to understand that critical task to establishing godly leadership was choosing God's will for the right deacons and the right elders. In this letter, Paul gave Timothy, I believe, a divinely inspired checklist of qualifications for a deacon. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, and we'll look at the qualifications. And this is important for all of us as we're praying about a new deacon in the church. He covers elders, which we're not going to cover. But then he gets to deacons in verse 8. Remember, this is written to Timothy. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in too much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as a deacons. Verse 11, in the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. So we're going to look at each one of these requirements and break them down a little bit, starting with verse 8. Worthy of respect. Worthy of respect. That word there in the Greek is semnos, which means to venerate. Now, what does it mean to venerate? It's to show great respect. The best way that I can understand veneration is what we do at a ball game when we play the national anthem. You stand up, you take your hat off, you put your hand over your heart. Are you worshiping the flag? Are you worshiping America? No. You're venerating. You're showing your respect to. Now, believe me, we don't expect you to take your hat off and to cover your heart when a deacon walks by. But to see a person and think, I respect them. I respect them. Why? Because they are true servants. I respect that the heart that they have is a servant's heart. You see, the church, the Catholic Church, set up Mary to be venerated. That was the idea, is that Mary would be venerated, and it went to the extreme where she's prayed to and worshiped. But the idea and the first understanding was that Mary was to be venerated, and that is the direction that Paul is trying to say here, is that a deacon needs to be somebody that is respected in the community and in the church. The second one is sincere, or not double-tongued. The word delogos, double-tongued, is not a person who gossips or speaks with hypocrisy. He speaks with integrity, consistency, and grace. And in doing so, I believe you have to be vulnerable. If you're going to speak about grace, you have to show your weakness as a person to say, you know what? I need the grace of God. To tell somebody that you need a Savior every day, you have to be vulnerable and say, I need a Savior every day. I fall short here and here, and God helps me through that. Deacons do not spread speculation, nor do they misuse the truth. In fact, they put an end to discord to protect the mission and the leadership of the church. The leadership of the church of love and unity and not divisiveness. 3, not addicted to wine. How much time do you got here? This is one of the most fought about parts of the role of a deacon. Qualifications. Paul could have used 2 words here. He chose the Greek prosesio. Means addicted to or to turn one's mind toward. Probably this is the most debated issue on the qualification of deacon. If it's not this one, it's one that we'll hit next. See, there's a similar word in the Greek that Paul could have used referring to abstinence, but that's not the word that he put in here. It has a moderation connotation. Churches split over this one verse. Over this one verse, whether a deacon is allowed to have wine, is allowed to have any form of alcohol. I remember in this very church in the 90s, deacons were required to sign a form saying they would abstain from alcohol. And I remember we lost a good deacon that day. We as a church believe that we as Christians should not overindulge in anything. Whether it's media or food or alcohol, best to not overindulge in anything. But we also understand that we, as leaders, and every Christian in here is a leader, to try to live your life to not to cause somebody else to. But luckily, we are guided by the Holy Spirit in that. So the fourth is to not pursue dishonest gain. Never seen this be a problem here because it's not all that. There's not a lot of glory behind being a deacon because you really serve behind the scenes. Meet and talk about difficult things so the church and the church family can flourish. To do difficult things without people knowing sometimes isn't an easy thing. Sometimes it can be very thankless, but extremely rewarding knowing that God has you serving for a purpose. I mean, one time we had just recently had a meeting for 5 hours on a Saturday during college football season. And afterwards, the deacon said we should do this more often. They're crazy. Verse 9 through 10, Paul starts listing the spiritual qualities of a deacon. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. To keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. See, deacons are not just men and women who believe in the truth, but they do all that they can do to live it out. They have strong biblical knowledge and insight and are able to live with a clear conscience because they believe in verse 10. They must be tested. And then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. And see, through this whole deacon nomination process, we do this in two ways. We take the nominations that you give us and we look at the ones that are highly nominated and we go through a vetting process with them. We ask them about their faith. We ask them about when they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. We let them tell their story. And then once we have gone through the vetting process, we reveal that person to the church and allow the church time to say, you know what, I'm not comfortable with this because of this reason, or I'm not comfortable with them because of that reason. That's how we live out verse 10. And if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. This I'm going to comment on in a little bit. So on to verse 12. A deacon must be faithful to his wife. If the alcohol part wasn't the most divisive, then it's this. The idea here is that a deacon is to be a one-woman man, or a one-woman man. I only have one wife at a time or one husband at a time. In all likelihood, Paul is making a reference to not being polygamous. The focus is on the man or the woman's character. This doesn't rule out people that have been divorced, which again has caused a lot of conflict in a church. Somebody that has been divorced and remarried. I believe what Paul is referring to is somebody that is faithful to their current wife. And he must manage his children and household well. That's the next requirement. He must handle his children and household well. And a lot of you, if you're looking through it, you say, okay, I'm doing pretty good there. I'm doing pretty good. And then you get to this one, you're like, oh man, so close. Doing pretty well until I got to that one. My first thought in this was, this is absolute proof that Paul did not have kids. Whether that's theologically correct or not. You see, deacons are to prove their spiritual character in the toughest of arenas, and that's in their home. They're to have their house in order by managing their money and their possessions and their relationship with their wife and how they raise their kids. And you say, how in the world can you do this? I believe it's with a constant mindset of everything that I have is His. I seek His wisdom and His discipline and how I am to use this. I don't own anything. I am owned by Him. And He tells me how to raise my kids. He tells me how to love my wife. He tells me when I give and where I give. He shows me how to give Him glory through everything He's given me. You thought I was going to skip verse 11. In the same way, women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. There's an argument here whether this is talking about a female deacon or a male deacon's wife. Here's where I stand personally on this. I believe that this church in particular has some amazing women that fit every requirement as a deacon. Many churches are by their very nature, I mean, many women in here by their very nature are servants. And several times we've seen in the New Testament the word deaconess. There are great examples in the Bible of female deacons. We have many women and men in this church that are absolute prayer warriors. So we would be lucky as a church to have a man or a woman serve as a deacon. And as we look at this list of qualifications, we have to remember one thing. It's a list. It's a guide as we prayerfully consider who to nominate. And if you don't hear anything else in the sermon, I want you to hear this part. I believe this is the point. Everyone in this room that has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, everyone that reads down this list and feels like you don't add up, it's because we don't see ourselves the way that Christ Jesus sees us. Redeemed, washed by the blood of Jesus, pure and holy. We're no longer defined by our shortcomings, but we're defined by a child of God, adopted by Him. And all of our righteousness are but filthy rags. Right, Miles? Because there's not one person on the leadership team that can check off everything on that checklist. But because you have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ, you are, because it's the Christ in you. And if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. We could find something we disapprove with every person in this room, starting with me. But I challenge you to find anything that was not washed by the blood of Jesus, not cleansed by the blood. That's who you are. That's how He sees you. And that's how we have to start seeing one another. You're not defined by your shortcomings, but by Him that's in you. You might be sitting there and say, you know what, you don't know me, you don't know my past. I could say the same thing. Do you think that I'm worthy of your respect? Let me tell you a little something about my childhood. I was thinking of a story just this morning. I had a pickup truck when I was 16 years old. And I can't remember the story completely, but this is how it was in my mind. Me and my friend were in the front of the cab. And for some reason, I don't know if they were our girlfriends or just girls that were in the youth group or whatever, they're in the back of the truck. I guess they didn't want to be with us. I don't know. Can't blame them. But they're in the back of the truck, and I'm driving Lakeway, and I see a sprinkler head that had been busted. And it was spraying water way up in the air. You guys have seen this, right? And it was in the road, and I thought, perfect. And so I stopped and just stopped right when they were getting soaked. I remember in Sunday school once, I had a Sunday school teacher. Her name was Jeri. And I was acting up so much, and she was so fed up with me, she literally threw her Old and New Testament Bible at me. And you guys chose me to be the pastor of the church. There are several ways in our lives we say, yeah, but what about this? But what about that? But what about this? Redeemed. Justified. Washed by the blood of Jesus. So who are we looking for in the church? Somebody that is humble and understands that I am nothing without Jesus. Somebody that you see and you say, you know what, that person right there is a servant. When I think of them, I think of somebody that truly wants to serve. I encourage you to be led by the Holy Spirit as we go through this nomination process. And the process just a little bit. The process of nominating a deacon requires prayer. We ask every one of you to pray. We have some thoughts that might be good ideas that we don't want somebody that two people in the same household to serve. Okay? If we're led by the Holy Spirit to say, you know what, maybe that's a bad rule, we can talk about that. If you're not here often, if you can't make meetings often, that is a requirement that we have, is that you can be physically present. Have to be over the age of 18. Because I was 17 when I did that in my truck, but I was so much more. And those that can vote are members of the church that are 16 and older. And I want to encourage you. We are a family. If God's putting somebody in your heart to nominate, go tell that person. Go tell that person, I was led to nominate you. And that person may say, you know what, I can't do it. I have no interest in doing it. Or you might make that person's day to think, they'll leave thinking, they think I'm a servant. They notice the things that I'm doing. I pray that you bless that person by saying, God put you on my heart through this process. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. Immeasurably more. We know that God is going to do immeasurably more through this process. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this room is full of servants. Men and women that love you. And with their life serve you, whether it's in their workplace or in the church or in their neighborhoods. But God, I pray that you put on each and every one of our hearts people that we can nominate as a deacon. We pray that you protect this process. And not only protect it, God, but we thrive through this process. Because you're in the center of it. It's your name I pray. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Before we go to our next song, I didn't ask permission, but he's a deacon, so I don't have to. We want to know what type of a person to nominate. The reason we're going through this process is because Randy is moving and spending more time not here. When Randy was nominated, he jumped with 2 feet in. He's literally spent hundreds of hours going through things like insurance and church finances. He calls me still often and says, how are you and your family doing? He doesn't let me get off the hook by just saying good. He digs in. We're blessed by the same God that blessed us with Randy for as long as he served as a deacon. And we know that God is going to bless his process in the future as well. So we're thankful for that. Thank you, Randy.
As you stand and join hands across the aisle, let's sing again. The first verse in the chorus of I Will Follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. Go in peace to serve and follow him.